on, get a faith. You're not sick. It was like a general around the house, you know. And then it was like, are you going to let the enemy know that you're sick? Are you going to let the devil think you're sick? Don't you want to go to school and show off that you're not sick? I'm like, no. Like, but you know what? I'm a fighter too. And so I don't mind at all. And I just know what God's word says. I've seen it happen time and time again. You may say, well, you're young. Yeah, well, I don't feel very young. But I'm going to be 30 this year in a couple weeks. And you know what, though? I have seen God do miracles my whole life because I've been a pastor's daughter my whole life. So, and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of ministry. I have seen God be faithful when we had nothing. I remember living in this little apartment, and my parents didn't eat, and we ate Top Ramen. And I remember our rooms being so close that literally I'd be like, hi, Mom and Dad. They'd be like, hi. You could tell they were like, oh, God, you know. Luke and Jess are like right up on us, you know. But now I've seen what God has done in our family now, and we're just so blessed, and our families are blessed, and God is just prospering us. But you know what? He's not just prospering us. I'm watching Him prosper you. I'm watching those of you that are faithful in your tithe, those of you that are faithful to the house of God, those of you that are keeping His commandments and loving Him, that He is blessing you, that there are things that have opened for you that wouldn't open for other people. I got a report about this guy who was looking for a job at our church, and they made a position for him at their job, at their work. You know, and it was like, they made a position for you? You know, and it was just like Deborah Begay, you know, and the job didn't know why they were making a position, but they made a position for him. I mean, that is favor. That is God. And, you know, I believe that He works on our behalf all the time. He's never stopped working. You know, when we get tired and we get weary in our lives, you know, He doesn't. You know, all of this drama that we've been going through this week and hearing about and all the heartache and the things that people are dealing with and all the, God is right there with you with all of it. But at the same time, He's still listening to those little prayers like, God, can you take away my cold? Can you, you know, can you, I don't know, like, fix this, God? Or, I mean, I remember being a little kid and praying for my Nintendo to work, you know? I mean, and He always fixed it. And I just remember, and God listens to the littlest prayers up to the most humongous tragedy of prayers. And God can do it all. He's everywhere. He's all the time. He's on all the time. And He never gets tired and weary. Isn't that comforting? And so in that, we can know that we are His girls. And so today, are you ready to get into the Word? Are you ready to find out what He has for us today? I believe He has an incredible Word of God. So I'm just the deliverer. I'm just the messenger. If you don't like how I am, just throw me out with the bathwater, but keep the Word that you're getting today. Because let me tell you this, the Word of God is powerful and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And there's a lot of Word today, and God is going to take us there. He's going to teach us through the lives of the people in the Bible today, okay? So if you got your Word, I want you to hold it up. We used to do this in Bible college. I used to hate it, you know, but now I totally get it because I was really young then, so I'm getting it now. If you got your Word, hold it up. You said, this is my Bible. This is the Word of God. It's going to feed me. It's going to teach me. It's going to equip me to do what I need to do in this day and age. I hold it and I cherish it and I live on it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so this is the Word of God. You hold on to it, guys. It's your sword, okay? Well, we're going to go into 1 Peter 2:9. I preached on Sunday night. I just gave a little thing when we were in prayer. And the Lord brought us just to the side verse off of what we were talking about in prayer. And I just loved the verse so much. And when my parents are gone, Dan and I take over their jobs, plus our jobs, plus our kids, plus everything else. And so I've been kind of like, okay, God, you know, I'm preaching on Thursday. I really need a message, but I don't have time. You know, I don't have time to like get alone with you. And He's just so good. He woke me up at 3 a.m. and gave me everything. And I'm like, I just love Him. He's so good. And so He started with this verse, 1 Peter 2:9. And I don't know about you, but I just love the Word of God. It like gets me going. Like I can't get enough of it. And it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And you know, we hear that, oh, chosen generation. Do you always kind of think like the people under you? Like, I think, oh, maybe the teenagers, you know, oh, well, maybe the younger generation. No, God has called every single generation in this room. Each of us have a purpose. Each of us have a place in this world. And he is calling us a holy nation, and he's saying we're his own special people. I don't know about you today, but I don't know if you walked in feeling special. Some of you probably did not feel very special when you walked in today. I know my hair went frizzy. I used the wrong shampoo, and I was like, wondering if I even look cute, and this is flipping up. And I, you know, you just always have a reason not to feel special, right? But in our own stupid insecurities, God says, it doesn't matter what you say, you are special. You are chosen. I have placed you on this earth for a reason. And you know, we could go into how we're chosen, because I could preach all day about how you're chosen, how you're loved, how you're equipped, how God has a plan for you. But listen, you already know that at Girlfriends. If you've been coming to Girlfriends, you know how special you are. You do. And if you don't, you need to go back and get some tapes, because seriously, we're not going to go there. Because today we're going to talk about why you're chosen. You see, you weren't born on this earth for no reason. Maybe you were born into a family where a mom really didn't want you. You didn't really have a dad. You wondered why you were ever here. You wondered where you came from. How did I ever even get here? Why am I even alive? But listen, God knows why you're alive. God knows your purpose, he knows your destiny, and he's chosen you. You know, when you go to the store and you're looking at, like, the produce section, how many of you are going to go pick a rotten apple? You know, it has, like, a little indent in it, it's a little brown. I would never pick that one. I'm always going for the hard stuff. I'm like, find the hard stuff, Dan. Like, we got to find the hard fruit, you know, because it's going to get softer. So you want the hard stuff, you want the good stuff. Well, guess what? God picks the broken and the bruised stuff. And he says, I take that and I actually reverse it. And he makes it hard and he makes it beautiful and he makes it what he needs it to be. And he chose you out of that produce stand, whether or not you are beautiful or not, whether or not you've screwed up in life or not, whether or not the decisions that you've made have put you in a position that you're like, I put myself here. God says, it doesn't matter. I'm still God and I've chosen you. You're here for a reason. And so today, you're here today for a reason, because you have a divine appointment with God. And so we're going to get into, why are you chosen? What are you chosen for? How many of you would like to know what you're chosen for? Do you know? Does anyone have an idea of what you're chosen for? Maybe just scream some things out to me. Nobody? What? To be a witness? Okay. What else? Praise his name. Encourage. Did you plant churches in Mexico? That's a good one. Anyone else? To be his hands and feet. To give him pleasure. All of it to worship him. All of what you guys are saying is true. But actually, it goes a lot deeper than that. You actually have not just a reason for him, but a reason for the people in your world too. You see, you're not just born on this earth for yourself. And I know in America, everything's I. You know, iPod, iPhone. What is it? YouTube. You know, me, I. And God says, that is so opposite of why I created you. This is really not about you. This is actually about the people around you, the world that you live in, the community that you've been given. Okay? So we're going to go into this. What are you chosen for, number one? If you got your pens and papers, I want you to write this down. You are chosen for such a time as this. So many people are like, what? That was Esther. Yeah. She sure was chosen for her time. But guess what? You're chosen for your time. This world stinks. Can I just say it? As my dad says, San Bernardino language. I don't really think so. I think it's worse than that. But it sucks. This world sucks. This world has no good. There are right and left. You turn on the TV, it's junk. I mean, I was watching a commercial the other day on HGTV. And a penis enhancer commercial came on, and I'm like, ah! And I'm like, try and scream. Chloe is in the room with me, like, in the middle of the day. And I'm like, ah! Like, trying to, on HGTV. And I'm just like, what kind of world is this that we live in? I mean, I seriously was, like, appalled. I just didn't even know they had that stuff. But seriously, like, wow. So this world we live in, we can't turn on the TV in the normal hours of the day. You can't go down the street without hearing horrible words coming out of people's mouths. You can't. We went on a tour up in Lake Arrowhead around the lake, because we were from Lake Arrowhead, and so we wanted to show some of Mom and Dad's guests the lake. So we went on this tour, and this person that was on the boat, the tour guide, I couldn't wait to jump off the boat. Like, I wish I could have just jumped off the boat because he was so negative. Like, oh, yeah, these political people, da, 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 this is why they have these big houses. I mean, just so negative, negative, negative. And I'm just like, can I jump off the boat? You know, like, and my dad, I could tell he was, like, furious inside. He couldn't wait to, he's all stinking negative people. Like, when he got off the boat, I mean, we were just so like, ah. And this world does not have good. It doesn't. But you know what? God has good. And you are the good in this world. That means that you are the light in all of this darkness. He has pulled you out of darkness and he has made you light so that you can shine for this time, for such a time as this. Yeah, you know, you weren't the ones chosen to be there when Jesus died on the cross and when they were being martyred for their salvation. That's still happening in other countries. And you know, so many times we can hear those stories about the people that are being martyred in other countries. And I go, God, we got it so easy. Like, I'm almost like guilty of it. Like, I'm guilty that I get to live in America. And the Lord spoke to me last night and he said, tell them not to be guilty. I knew they would be in America. I knew they would be at this time. I need someone to do this job here. Someone has to deal with the pettiness of the eyes. And somebody has to bring people back onto the right road of who I am. Because whether they're being martyred or whether they're just being distracted, they still need to know who I am. And listen, our world is distracted. There's so many things coming at us. There's so many. How many of your teenagers, is it hard to get their attention when you're really trying to get, we're trying to talk to them? How many times do you have to go, put the phone down? Can you just listen to me for a second? I'm not kidding you. Even my like 4-year-old, it's ridiculous. Like, focus, child, you know? And that is probably how God feels with us, I believe, in America, because we're so like, oh, I got to go do this, and I got to go do that, and I got to go do this, and I got to go do that, and I got to, instead of, wait a second, what does he need me to do today? What I was chosen for this time. So let me stop my day for a second and say, what do you need? You know, like, what am I supposed to do today? What's my assignment from God today? Where am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to be somewhere at a certain time, God? Am I supposed to talk to maybe a certain clerk at a certain time, God? Am I supposed to, you know, go work in my child's school today, God, and talk with her teacher today? Am I supposed to just be an example of your goodness in my family who's chaotic and crazy? How many of you got some of those families around here? And you know, you don't even know. We just get so busy and we pass up for such a time as this. We pass up those moments. We pass up our days that God has given us. And yet we are so consumed with I that we forget about you. And we forget about them and the people that God has given to us to be a part of their lives. And so for such a time as this, you know, Esther was, I'll refresh you about Esther. She, for me, was one of my favorite women in the Bible. Favorite, favorite, favorite. And she was chosen to go, you know, be the queen of this king. And she had favor. I mean, this woman went before him and he like, whoo, she was a hottie. He loved her. And so he wanted her around. And so she got everything. And so Mordecai came to her and he said, listen, Haman's trying to kill all the Jews. And he's putting it on the king. You have to save us. There's no one else that will save us. And, you know, can you feel the pressure? I mean, come on. She's not allowed to approach the king. It's not like a relationship we have now. My husband, if I need something, I go talk to him. She couldn't just go talk to her husband. She had to request it, and he had to summon her, and all these things that she had to go through just to get to her husband. And she was scared, and she was kind of like, okay, well, I'm not, you know, she kind of went a little bit back and forth. But then she said this in Esther, verse 16, she says, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. She could have lost her life for going to the king. And if I perish, I perish. Do you guys have that in you? Does God sometimes say, hey, can you just go tell them I love them? That's happened to me before. We were on vacation and we were in the laundromat and this girl walks in and you could tell she was in a rush and she was trying to get her clothes in and she didn't have any money. They didn't have like a coin machine in the laundromat. Weird. And so I had like a lot of change. So I said, well, you know, it's fine. I'll just, you know, give you your change. She was just like, oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. People just don't do that. And I'm like, okay, well, it's fine. It, like, seriously, it wasn't a big deal to me. And she was like, okay. And so she left, and the Lord said, when she comes back, you better tell her that I gave her that and that I love her. And I was like, huh. But I feel like I'm 3 years old telling Jesus loves you. You know, like, I just felt cheesy. I'm being totally honest, okay, everybody? I felt cheesy. And so I'm like fighting with myself. And I'm like, maybe I should talk to Dan about this. Well, Dan's putting the kids down for bed, and I don't want to go up there because then they'll wake up again. And the Lord's like, why are you talking to anybody about this? I just told you what to do. And I'm like, okay. So I waited for her a little bit, and then my clothes were done. And so I got them out. I'm like, well, she didn't come back in time. You know, like, I went upstairs, and I went to sleep that night, and I was tormented the rest of my vacation. And he's like, why didn't you tell her? Why didn't you tell her I love her? Why was that so hard for you to just say that I love her? And he goes, because Jess, it was about you. It was about how stupid you would look. And I was just like, oh, it was me. And you know, I've never, from that point on, had a hard time telling anyone that Jesus loves them, because I really don't care if they laugh at me or not. You know, and I mean, it'll only take one time of you being majorly convicted by the Holy Spirit to be checked. But seriously, check yourself. Has there been times that you've been in the store and you know, God's like, just tell her that I love her. Tell her that she's, you know, that she's blessed and highly favored. Or tell her whatever. Tell. Yeah, have you ever been there? And have you done it? Yeah, a lot of no's. That's okay. We're all in the same boat. But God is saying, but that's why you've been chosen. See, because you never know that if your one word to that person is going to change their whole destiny. Yeah, you could be on the mission field being martyred. But we're here, and we're not being martyred. But God's saying, I need someone here to bring in the harvest here. And you all have been chosen for such a time as this. You can't expect me and Pastor Eleanor and Pastor Jim and Deborah to do it all, you guys. It's you. We're equipping you to take what you get and to go out into the world, into your communities, for such a time as this, and to change the lives of the people that are in your world. And that's your assignment today. That you've been chosen to change the hearts and the lives of people towards Jesus Christ. For such a time as this. Point number two. You've been chosen to make a difference. Some of you feel like, oh, well, I'm just so insignificant. Everybody's told me I'm a failure. I'm not really any good at anything I do. You know, I can't sing like Dion. I don't get up and preach like you, Pastor Jess. Well, I mean, that's not easy either. You know, I mean, that's not fun. And, you know, it just, there's so many times that I hear that and I'm like, yeah, but seriously, if you've been to your house is like the most gorgeous place in the whole world. Everything is like humongously beautiful, and it's just breathed on by God. Or how about your family? Your family is like the most amazing family I've ever met in my life, because you've nurtured them and you've brought them up in the ways of the Lord. You see, there are things that you've done that have made a difference in your world. And yet so many times we can beat ourselves up and we can say, oh, it just doesn't matter. I'm just so inaccurate. I'm just so incapable of being who I need to be. And God says, stop. Because I've chosen you for a time like this, and I've chosen you to make a difference. But if you're just sitting on your little butts and complaining and being negative all the time, you're not fulfilling what God's called you to do. You're not doing what you've been assigned. He's told you that you are to make a difference. You know, God uses the simplest things in the Word of God to make such a humongous point. So we're going to go to John 6, 8 through 11. And if you want to watch it on the screens, because I did it in the message. And it says, John 6, 8 through 11, one of the disciples, it was Andrew, brother to Simon, said, there's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this. And I'm going to stop there. Here's this little boy minding his own business, going to see Jesus, and he's got a little boy's lunch. And all these people are hungry. Now, think about when you're hungry. Are you happy? Like, I am so not happy when I'm hungry. If you see me walking around like this, like, I'm probably famished. Like, my husband knows, get some food in her. Like, and I don't know if all these 5,000 people were like me, but can you imagine if they did not eat? They had to eat. God knew there was a need. This little boy's there with his lunch, and Jesus says this, and I love how the disciples were so in faith, right? But that's a drop in the bucket for this crowd like this. You know, yeah, good, be negative. And Jesus said, in verse 10, make the people sit down. There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks. He gave it to those who were seated, and the same thing with the fish. All ate as much as they wanted. A miraculous miracle. God fed 5,000 with this little boy's lunch. This little boy who was just in the right place at the right time, minding his own business, and then mommy made him a lunch. He made a difference in 5,000 people's lives that day. Because when they were nourished and when they were fed and when they were taken care of, they were able to probably pay more attention. They were not as irritable. They were receiving what it was that Jesus was saying without any of the physical needs not being met. Because God knows the physical needs too. And you see, just like he was there to make a difference for those 5,000 people, today you are here to make a difference for the people in your world. Wherever you go after this is a God assignment. Whoever you approach after this, it's your job to make a difference. We don't just live here just to live here, just to do the daily ins and outs, because that's so easy to do, you guys. And how monotonous and how boring. No, you have been chosen for such a time as this. You have been chosen to make a difference in your world. I want to show you this video. There's this girl. There's a team of people, and they go down to London, and there's this really, it's one of the biggest places where the homeless people go, and it's actually where they die. That's where the homeless people go to die in London. And so a ministry went out, and they were just blessing these people. They were giving them food and loving on them. And there was a 17-year-old teenage girl that went out, and she just really blessed someone, and she made a difference that day. And so I want you to see the video, if we could turn the lights off. Thank you.
It's something I saw a few months ago. I was out on a street called East Hastings, which is in Vancouver, and it's well known as the worst postal district or zip code in North America. It's a place where drug addicts go to die. It's full of homeless people. Has North America's first safe injection site, where you can actually legally inject heroin, supervised by the government. It's that bad. And it's one of the areas where our teams work. And we have a training school for people who are trying to figure out, is this what I want to do in my life? And we took 9 of them down for a night, and we're working with this church that's on the street there, and they'd asked me to speak, which is kind of a weird thing, you know. I'm dealing with these people who are totally homeless, and they're totally, many of them are high, and they come into this church because the church is feeding them. And the deal is they get this food, and then they listen to some guy doing worship, and then I stand up and speak about how great life is. And I'm kind of like, I'm standing there and I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to say? So anyway, our team of nine young people, are helping serve the food. And at one point, this guy comes and he sits down, and I'm standing here, and there's a row of chairs there, and he sits there, and he's kind of like this. He's so high, and he looks like he hasn't slept for days, but he's this. And he's got this plate of eggs and beans and toast and sausages there, and it's in his hand, and he's trying to get his fork to stab the sausage so he can get it in his mouth, and he's moving like that. He gets one in, and it sort of misses his mouth, goes in. And then we're watching him, and not me and Rob aren't saying anything. It's a very moving thing to watch. And all of a sudden, the plate begins to tip, and he can't stop it. And all this food, and I don't know when the last time he ate was, but all this food just slides off the plate, lands in his lap, just drips onto the floor, and he's just sitting there looking at it like that. And just from this side comes Naomi. Naomi is one of our 17-year-old people. And she comes into this mess of this guy who's stinking and smelling and food all over him, and she kneels down in the middle of this pile of baked beans, gets it all over herself, and she takes a cloth and she starts to clean him. And as she's cleaning, she cleans him all over. Then she takes his plate, she goes back, she goes behind the counter, so she gets to the front line, she fills it with food, and she brings it back out to him, and she holds it covered in, she's now covered in the beans and everything, and she's holding it while this guy's eating. And I saw Jesus. Naomi was Jesus at that moment, and that's when I got up and spoke, that's what I spoke about. That Jesus enters into our world in the way that Naomi entered into this guy's mess. And he makes a difference, and he cleans people up, and he provides a place and a hand that steadies the plate so you can get some food.
You see, Jesus enters this world through you. He uses you. You are here to make a difference. I know that I've been down to the Dream Center, and my life was rocked down there. I went to Skid Row. I went to all those places. And yes, you could go to the lowliest of the lowliest, but how about the people sitting right next to you? What's going on in their hearts? What have they just experienced this week? What are some deep things in their lives that maybe you have a good word for them? Maybe you can just bring them a Starbucks one day. Maybe you can just, you know, let them know, hey, I was thinking about you, and I prayed this for you today. And maybe you could just be so in tune with God that God starts to speak to you about people. And God starts to tell you how to make a difference in people's lives. And God starts to move you in ways you haven't been moved in a long time. And we all need to be moved in ways we haven't been moved in a long time. Because this is not about us. Because this world is a dying world. And just like you said, that was a homeless man who was on drugs and who was high as a kite. And who knows, you know, when was the last meal he had. And this girl didn't care if she got dirty, and she cleaned up his plate and she ripped and refilled it. Would you have been willing to do that? How many times do you pass someone on the streets and you just think, oh, they're just trying to get money? They might be. But is that our place to judge? Or is it our place to love? And if you don't have money, tell them about the Rock. Hello, they can get free food here. That's what we do all the time. My 4-year-old's like, Daddy, Daddy, roll the window down. Tell them that they got food at the Rock, you know. Listen, guys, you are here to make a difference. You are here for such a time as this. Number 3, you've been chosen to use your gifts and your talents. I said, gosh, gifts and talents. What are my gifts and talents? I don't know. Well, there is a class around here that we have at the Rock, and it does help you find out what your spiritual gifts and talents are so that maybe you can use them in the right places. That was just a little plug. But in Romans 12, we're going to go there, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. And it says, having gifts, sorry, my throat, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace that has been given to us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, which is helps. Did you know that helps is a ministry? Did you guys know that? I don't think a lot of people know that. They think, well, I don't play in the, you know, the band, and I don't do anything on stage, and I'm not good with kids. Well, maybe you're good at greeting, or maybe you're good at, like, behind the scenes stuff, or maybe you're good at, like, I don't know, computer work or whatever. That's called helps ministry around the church. And that's what he's talking about. He whose gifts are practical service, let him give of himself to serving. He who teaches to his teaching. He who exhorts, encourages to his exhortation. Did you know that being an exhorter is actually a gift? How many of you have been around my mom? My mom can exhort the pants off of you. Like, seriously, like, I'm like almost sickened, but I'm like, okay. You know, like, the woman is always saying something sweet about something, and she's an exhorter. And if you know, you may know people like that, you may be like that, use it. He who contributes, let him do it in a simplicity and the liberality. He who gives aid and superintends the zeal and the singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Those are the gifts. Guys, use your gifts. Are you happy? Do you enjoy life? Okay, well, there are people around you that don't. Maybe you could help them enjoy life. Maybe you could use your gift to help them enjoy life. Maybe you're a giver of gifts. You like to flourish them with gifts. Well, you know, maybe you have a friend whose husband just never gives her anything, who just feels like she's a nobody, who works her butt off and never, ever gets rewarded. Maybe you could bring her something. Maybe you could just randomly send her a wonderful card in the mail. You see what I'm saying? Be like, in your day, ask God, what is it I can do for you today since I was chosen for today? What is it, God? Who is it that you need me to touch? Because I have gifts and talents. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you work in the band and you look up here and you go, oh, they have too many people. I've heard this so many times. You have too many people. They don't need me. Oh, come on. Do you know how many services we have? We need you. We need help. You know, there's always a place for you in the house of God. But it's not just about the house of God, because I can go on that for a long time too. But it's outside the house. Your homes. You know, the holiday season is coming up. And I can tell you, my husband every year gets mad that I buy garland. Every year. You always have to go to Costco and buy garland. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, it's already done. And I love that garland. It's only $20 a long and it's already done. Okay, just a little tidbit there. So, and I needed one more strand last year. And he loved how I finally decorated the house, you know, gave me a whole bunch of junk about it. But at the end, it was like, oh, it's so cozy. Thank you so much for putting all this time into it. And then there was my staircase with no garland. And I'm like, do you see that little piece right there? If I had that one piece of garland, I could do it. So I went to the store this year, and I got garland. And he is so cute. He came home, he said, all right, the staircase is getting done, isn't it? I'm like, yes, it is. The staircase is getting done this year. And you know what he said? He said, that is such a talent, Jess. Like, seriously, you take time, you put the house together, you make sure that the ornaments are in the right places, you make sure that the bows are tied the right way. And then when I walk in during the holidays, I feel like I'm so welcome. Like, it's the most amazing place for me to come home to. That, guys, is a talent, and I'm making a difference in my family's life. And I'm doing something that, yeah, it's tiring, especially now this year I'm going, great, I'm pregnant, how am I going to do this? But God's grace, I'm going to do it. And you know, you can make an excuse after excuse after excuse why you don't do certain things. I don't have the talents to make something pretty. Oh, really? You could go to Costco, they already did it for you, put it up. Make a difference in your world, girls. Use your gifts and talents. We are women. Can I hear you say that? We are women. Say it with me. I am woman. I am a nurturer. And I make things beautiful. And maybe you don't feel that way, but you just start saying that about yourself. Because you know what? Your gifts and your talents are needed here in this house, but they're needed outside of this house. Your family needs you. The world outside here needs you. I don't know where you go. Maybe you visit a hospital a lot of times because you're in the hospital all the time. But you know what? Then those nurses need you. How about instead of you going in for the doctor's report, you go in to give them a good report? Yeah. Hello? Turn the tables here on the enemy. Let's turn the tables because you've been chosen for such a time as this to make a difference and to use your gifts and talents. You know, Moses was being trained to be the prince of Egypt. I mean, this guy was taught business. He knew how to lead a crowd. He knew everything about being a prince. And then he had to flee because he killed one of his own, right? And so then he became a shepherd, prince to shepherd. Wow, God's funny. He knows how to humble us, doesn't he? Goes prince to shepherd. And while he's out there, he turns around, there's a burning bush, and God says, I need you to lead the people out of Egypt. Ha ha ha, what? He says, what? You know, I'm just picturing God, right? I'm thinking, like, if I was God, what would I be thinking? Well, yeah, you've been trained for it. You know business, you know how to lead people, you know how to, you know, control a crowd, you know how to be a leader, you know how to be in the desert and survive the desert because you've been shepherding out here in the desert for a very long time. He was being trained. He had gifts and talents, and God used him to bring those people out of Egypt. What are your gifts and talents? What are the things God needs you to do in your world? Because I can't do what Dion can do. Have you seen her house? It's gorgeous. I cannot do that. I cannot do what Anne can do. Anne is amazing at everything she puts her hand to. I cannot do what Eleanor, this woman can cook. She cooked when I was like pregnant. Oh my gosh. Between her and Cassandra, I was seriously like, I'm never cooking again because I stink at it. I mean, these women, these are just little talents, okay, Eleanor? So don't get mad at me afterwards. Like, you have many talents. But I mean, these are little talents. And you know, don't take one versus another, you guys. That's a good point. Don't take one versus another. You know, well, yeah, I might be a good cook, but I also do all this other stuff. Yeah, well, do all that other stuff and do that. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of women in here that need our help because they're going to be going in and out of the hospital. Start cooking right now, making meals, get on a list. Start helping out. Do you see? There are things for you to do in this house. Use your gifts and talents. Don't stay stagnant. Don't be mediocre. God has called you to too much, and yet we sit for too long. Number four. You have been chosen to fight. Oh, it's tiring to fight, isn't it? You saw a little bit of fighting today. We are fighting in the spirit realm. I'm not letting anyone die. I'm not letting any cancer come across this house. I just refuse. And I will fight until the day I die. And girls, you should fight until the day you die. You know, my parents always tell a story about there was this couple that worked with them in ministry up in Lake Arrowhead, and they approached my parents and they said, we just can't be here anymore. We just can't do ministry with you anymore. And they were like, oh, okay, why, you know? And the people were like, we are just sick of fighting. We don't want to fight anymore. We want to go to a church where we don't have to fight anymore. Okay. Well, good luck then, you know, like, bye. So they left. And the lady, the couple of that couple, she has MS now. And she doesn't know how to fight it off. She doesn't know what the word says about it. She doesn't know what to do now. And the family is devastated. And if they would have stayed in the house of God where they learned how to fight, where they knew that they could be strong, where they knew that this was not something that would take them, but they take it, where would they be? You see, God hasn't called us to sit down and be wimpy. God has called us to get our swords out, get our shields up. I should have took my mom's sword and shield out of her office today. We blinged a shield for her now. So now she has a shield. Yeah, I know. Watch out, huh? And we have been called to fight. But listen, we are wimpy. We complain way too much. Way too much. Way, way, way too much. Are you fighting when complaining's coming out? Actually, no, I think we're giving the devil ground when we're complaining. It's like, yeah, good, look at, listen. There she goes, she's losing her faith. There she goes, she's not in the word. There she goes. Have your kids been acting up lately and you just kind of like are sick of dealing with it so you're not? Fight. Fight. Fight the enemy. Rebuke the devourer off of them. Because let me tell you something, the enemy is going to try and rob your kids. Because they're the next generation to make his name famous. If he can wipe them out, then that's less people to preach the name of God. You see, they got a lot of pressure on them. They need mama to fight. I was up last night. What was I doing? Fighting. Why? Probably because I'm preaching. And I had all these demonic dreams. I'm telling you, it always happens with dreams first. And now I've learned, wake up out of them because you're seriously being attacked. I got up and I went to the bathroom. I did it while I was peeing. And I'm like, listen. So there you go. You can fight on the toilet, okay? I'm pregnant. I pee all the time. So and I said, listen, enemy, you get out of this house. You are not going to put fear in my heart. You're not going to put fear in my kid's heart. And when Dan preaches this weekend, our family is going to sleep. Because every time Dan preaches on the weekends, we never sleep. And there's like chaos in our house and it's drama. Dan, can you give me an amen? You know how that is. And it's just like an attack after an attack after attack. And that's what happens to us. So right now, I've already like, no, I'm going to recognize this. This is how it's going to be, devil. We're going to sleep in peace. We're going to be happy. This is going to be smooth riding for us the rest of this week. And God's going to use this family to be a blessing so that the people of this Inland Empire can go get saved this weekend. And so that lives can be changed. And tomorrow we're going to kick heaven's door down and we're going to kick the devil right back into hell. And that is what we started off with this morning. And you know what? Get out, girls. Get out of bed. Get out of your cozy mattress and get to work. Amen. Get to work. When you don't feel like it, that's when you should do it. When you don't feel like it, that's when you should do it. So listen, there's this lady by the name of Deborah. So I love the name Deborah just because it always does sound powerful to me. Probably because my mom is very powerful. And I don't mean powerful like zap, like magic. I mean like powerful like... She's just a woman that, like, knows what she wants and she gets it. You know what I mean? Like, and so I started reading about Deborah. So if you would go with me to Judges, because she was a judge and she was a commander of general of an army. I mean, okay, back then there was totally discrimination against women. Okay? Women were not exactly accepted the way they are now. And these men wouldn't go anywhere without her. So let's just find out who this Deborah is. Judges 4, 4 through 8. Now Deborah, a prophetess, and the wife of, okay, there's lots of weird names, so just bear with me, okay? A wife of Lapidoth was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under a palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel would come up to her for judgment. So she was a judge over the land. They would come to her, and she would judge a situation, and then she'd send them off, okay? So it'd be like going to the courthouse for us. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kishith of Naphtali, and she said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy the troops at Mount Tabor, take with you the 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, and commander of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver them into your hand. So she's saying, hello, you already have a plan. Hasn't God told you to go and do this, and then I, being the judge, I will release this other nation to you right where the river is, and you can, you know, pounce on them, pretty much get them. I'm setting this up for you. Go there, okay? And this is what Barak says back to her. He says, and Barak says to her, well, if you go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. How many of you people want you to go with them? Because you're a fighter, and you know that you're going to be the one there fighting with them. Or how about they get tragedy in their life, and they're like, yeah, I'm probably not going to call that person. I'm going to call someone else who's going to fight with me, who I could take with me, because I'm not going without them. See, there's been a situation with a friend of mine lately. And it's funny because she always calls me, and I feel so bad because I'm like, why are you crying? Get up. Come on. You're mama. You need it. And I'm like, I feel so bad when I get off the phone. I'm like, I just beat her up, I think. I think I just told her to get up. And then I told her to call my friend Robin if she wants sympathy. It's so bad, huh? But you know what she said to me? She said, that's good. It's good for me. I call because I need to get, like, pumped up. Like, I know I'm being weak. I know that I need someone to fight with me. And this last time I was like, you can do this. Listen, the enemy's trying to defeat you. You can do this. Don't you lay down and die. This is something you can get through. This is something that you can do. You're a mama bear. You fight. And she's like, at the end, yeah, okay, I can do this, you know. Come on, guys. You guys need to be warriors. Just like Deborah, they wouldn't go to war without her. Here's a woman over a man's army. Didn't happen back then, guys. Didn't happen. The favor of God was on her. She had authority, and she knew how to fight. Listen, you have authority. You are a daughter of God. You've entered into his kingdom. You have his authority. You have power over principalities of darkness. You know what the word says. You speak it, and that's your sword. But if you're not fighting, you're going to get passed up when something happens in your friends' lives. They're going to go, and they're going to call the church instead of calling you, too. Well, they can call us, too, but they need to be able to call you. They need to be able to say, listen, this is what just happened in my life, and I'm weary, I'm tired, and that's okay to be there. But then you need to say, listen, I know you're weary, I know you're tired. Be sympathetic, okay? Don't be tough butt like me. But then say, but we're going to get in the Word, and this is what the Word says about this. The Word says, and that's what we go by. We stand on what the Word says. You know, I said on Sunday night, so many times, we don't pray for healing. If it's God's will. God has never told us to do anything but pray for healing in this Word. And that means that's all I'm doing, is I'm praying for healing. And listen, the person that I'm praying for, I hope they have faith for it, because it's their faith, too, that will make a difference in this whole situation. But on my part, I'm a fighter, and I'm in faith, and I know what God can do, and I'm believing for healing. And so if you're praying for someone who believes like you do, who believes in healing, and who believes in, man, they're going to see results. They're going to see miracles. They're going to go there with God. They're going to live this life of extreme miracles, extreme pleasure, extreme goodness. Because we fight. It doesn't come easy. You probably look at my parents and think, oh, Pastor Jim and Deborah got the best marriage in the world, got the best kids, got a nice house, got a good business on the side, you know, just so blessed. Listen, I lived with them through the crap, and they paid a price. But one thing I know about my parents is they never, ever stopped fighting. When my sister was on her way to hell, my parents were up at 5 in the morning praying for her, screaming at the devil. When I was on my way to hell, it made me so mad. I'd be in my room. I'm like, just shut up. Quit praying for me. Like, I hated it. But my mom and dad were going up and down our hallways praying for us. I remember one time I had my friends over, and my mom and dad were like, get in your bedroom. There are demons in this house. Get. And I was like, oh, in my bed, you know. And my mom was like, and they were just went through the house. My mom goes, okay, they're gone. Go to sleep. I'm like, okay. good night. And I just remember there is spiritual warfare out there, you guys. There are assignments and attacks from the enemy. And we can lay down and be wimpy and just let it happen in life because, oh, well, maybe this is what God wants. Why would a good God, a big God, who has chosen you and who has equipped you and who has made you and who formed you to be here for this time and to make a difference in the lives of the people in this world, put a horrible assignment on your life? Sorry, that's not God. That's the enemy. And you have a choice. You can break that assignment over your life, and then you can fight. Or you can lay down and die. But you need to get people in your world that are going to fight with you. You need to be able to pick up that phone, and you need to be able to fight together. You need to be able to pray and say, this is not going to happen in our world. This is not going to happen in our families. This is not going to happen in our lives. And if you don't have that someone, you stick around here and you'll find someone, I promise. The girls around your table, they're fighters. They've been trained. You girls know how to get your swords out. You know how to get your shields up. You know how to kick some devil butt. So listen, you've been chosen to live. So choose life. Don't lay down and die. You've been chosen to live. Leave this earth the right way. Leave it knowing that you've been chosen for such a time as this. Know that you have made a difference in this world that God has called you to do. Know that you have gifts and talents and you're not done with your gifts and talents. You've just begun. And know that you have to fight. Know. And when you know you have to fight, you're getting ready for the battle. It's not so much of a depressing thing anymore. Like, oh, I'm exhausted. I don't want to fight anymore. No, just fight. Just do it. Oh, well. Because let me tell you something. The first place you start fighting, do you want to know where it is? On your knees. You start on your knees. I'm in a fight for something in my life that doesn't look like it could ever change, but I so have faith for it that I'm just waiting for the day. And the only place that I could fight for this thing is on my knees. And the only place I could fight for it is by myself. Because some of the other people in my world are kind of like, it is what it is. Nope. It's not what it is. And I'm going to change the circumstance. And this will change. And let me tell you, and when it does, I will be the first one going, ha ha ha, I prayed for you, and you, I fought my butt off, but you're home. And so let me tell you something. It's not over yet. The story isn't finished. It's not written. Your story and your lives have just begun, girls. Okay, no matter if you're old or young, wherever you are in your world, it's just beginning. You have chosen and you have been chosen for such a time as this. Say it with me. I am chosen for such a time as this. I am chosen for such a time as this. Not only have you been chosen for such a time as this, you have been chosen to make a difference. Don't be mediocre. Be in the right place at the right time because you've prayed and you've asked God what it is he needs from you. Number three. Use your gifts and your talents because you do have them. Maybe if you don't know what they are, we can help you find them, okay? We have classes for that. We have things that can help you. Or just get your little butts to work. Put your hand to the plow, and if you are good at it, then you're good at it. What a concept. And fight. You've been chosen to fight. God only picks the best warriors. So when you enter his kingdom, guess what? You become his warrior. So girls, let's fight together, okay? That's what we saw this morning. It was we fought today for those bad reports, Sandy and Darlene and Pam Espinoza and Hayden Espinoza and all these people and the poor family that lost their mom this week. We've heard the reports and we know the reports, but listen, I know the report of the Lord. And I know those children are going to grow and love God and that they will love their mother, but they will love God more and that God will take care of them in this time. And I know that all these bad reports are just a little hiccup that you guys are going to fight through and you will make it. And that is not how you're called to leave this world. So don't lay down and die. Fight. And I know that God has a purpose and a plan for that little 4-year-old Hayden who's sitting in the hospital with tubes outside of her because of her kidneys. I know God has a purpose and a plan for her. That little girl is going to preach the gospel. And she is going to use this to make her nation and her generation famous. Enough's enough, girls. We can put up with it, or we can fight it. And I leave you with this. You better fight. And if you don't like fighting, go find a church where they don't. Because this one kicks some devil butt. And we are not putting up with it. Hallelujah!